scripture reading will be from 1 Corinthians 12, 31, 1 Corinthians 13, 4. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up.
There are many ways to communicate with someone. When we find examples of people who know each other well, they may communicate with just a look. A hand signal is sometimes an effective means for communication. And there are times when we communicate based on context. There are certain actions and certain words which may, in one set of circumstances, mean one thing. And then as we have a different set of circumstances, those same actions and those same words mean something completely different. Dan just read for us 1 Corinthians 12, 31 and 1 Corinthians 13, 4. In 1 Corinthians 12, 31, you have a translation which says something like, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Well, that's in there for a reason. In the first century, there were spiritual gifts. People could speak with tongues, that is, human languages that they had never learned. That gift was necessary because Jesus gave a great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. They didn't have time to go to language school, so they were given the gift of tongues so that they could teach people the gospel in their native language. At this time, the New Testament had not been written. So it was important, as far as spiritual gifts, to give people information that we now have recorded in the New Testament. So there were gifts such as the gift of knowledge. We find that Christians were able to prophesy, they were able to heal, and some were even able to raise the dead. So in 1 Corinthians 12, 31, Paul says to the Corinthians, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Well, bearing that passage in mind, let's take one more look at the second passage Dan read, and that's 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Love, as Paul describes it, says it suffers long, it's kind, love envies not, love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Paul said love does not envy. The word that's translated envy in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 is exactly the same word that's used in 1 Corinthians 12, 31, where Paul says desire, or we could say envy, spiritual gifts. Well, the word is being used in two different senses, but it is exactly the same word. In 1 Corinthians 12, 31, it describes an emotion, it describes a very passionate, a very intense desire. There is a strong interest in possessing something or receiving something. But then in 1 Corinthians 13, 4, when Paul uses this word again, he says that it's something to be avoided. Well, this is a case where we have a Bible word that's sometimes used positively and sometimes it's used negatively. And this is not the only time in the New Testament where we see this dual usage. In the book of Acts, chapter 5, for example, we have sick people. They were being healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that the high priest and others, they were filled with jealousy. Some translations would use the word envy, and that's probably a preferred word because it's the same word. A positive use of this word is found by John in Revelation 3:19. Jesus said through John, be zealous. Well, it wouldn't make much sense to render that be envious because that would be a negative meaning of the word, but it's a positive meaning. Be zealous, be passionate. So this word, whether it's used positively or whether it's used negatively, is very intense. It's very, very and strong. Sometimes it is used in an intensely positive way. Sometimes it's used in an intensely bad way. Well, since Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, 4, love envies not, he's using the word in a negative way. There are those in life who envy others. And if you find an example of that, whether that's in your own life or in the life of someone else, you find, generally speaking, that that is very, very strong. Envy occurs when we see what someone else has. And as we look at what another person has, we then want that for our own selves. Envy is often strong enough where it brings a person to the point where they have bitter resentment against another person. They see what someone else possesses, they don't have it, they can't perhaps get it, and then those ill feelings arise within the heart. I'm going to turn back to Genesis 37. If you have your outline and you see that, that's about where we are as far as this segment of the lesson. And I use Joseph for a couple of reasons. First of all, his life does give us a prime example of envy, but we also find God saying that Joseph's life is a perfect illustration of envy because the word that's used in 1 Corinthians 12, 31 and 1 Corinthians 13, 4, it's also used in Acts 7, 9. And there the Bible says that jealousy, which is probably not the best translation, the King James uses the word envy. that Joseph was sold into slavery. Well, that story, as we said, is described for us in Genesis 37. In Genesis 37:2, we're told about the age of Joseph. He was only 17 years old at the time. And we find that the envy that was involved with his life was partially furthered by his dad. Genesis 37, starting with verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. When more than one child is in a household, it's almost always the case that at one point or another there will be claims about unequal love. Brother will say that he was loved more or less than another brother. Or it may be a brother-sister claim that, well, you love him more or I'm loved less than the other one. I've seen cases where after children become adults, and maybe they're 70 years old, years later, they talk about how mom and dad love this one above that one, or I was loved more than the others in the home. Well, in some particular cases, that's true. And we know that because of Genesis 37. In some cases, it's not true. Genesis 37 offers some good parental advice to all who are parents. Do your best to love your children equally and show that love in a very equitable manner. If that's not done, we can almost guarantee problems, one of which will be envy. Children notice unequal love. Genesis 37, verse 4. And his brethren saw, they noticed, that their brother was loved more than all of his brethren. And then there was a consequence. They hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Envy can be in a home. And when that occurs, we find that hate is usually not too far behind. That's what we find in verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream and told it unto his brethren, and they hated him, notice, not because of the dream, but they hated him yet the more. There was additional hate because of this additional point. Not only is envy tied to hate, it is sometimes a component in murder. We see that in Genesis 37, verse 18, about midway through the chapter. And they saw him, that is, Joseph, afar off. And before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. Let's pause for a moment and again think about what envy is. Envy, the sin in 1 Corinthians 13, is a desire to have what someone else possesses. Joseph's brothers were able to see what he had. Dad loved him more than all his other brothers. Dad had given him that special coat, and they were envious. Envy is bitter resentment towards someone, and it often leads to jealousy. Again, sticking with this chapter, but now looking at the information in verses 24 and 25. And they, that is his brothers, took him and cast him into the pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. 25, and they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a caravan of Ishmaelites were coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. Every time Joseph's brothers saw his special coat, they must have been envious. On this day, they took the coat from him. They cast him into an empty pit, which appears to have been a well. Then they sat down for a meal. Is it not clear from Genesis 37 that envy is an ugly emotion? It will often cause people, it will often lead people to behave in disgraceful ways. Envy is a quality that will bring out the very worst in people as they deal with their friends. It will disgrace people as they deal with their co-workers and even as they deal with their enemies. And as we see in Genesis 37, it's something that will also destroy families. In the case of Joseph, envy did not stop with the actions that we read. He was finally sold and did end up in the land of Egypt. As you think about Genesis 37, you can, in your mind, go back mentally to 1 Corinthians and see how there must have been some similar circumstances at Corinth. Certain Christians at Corinth possessed spiritual gifts, one or more gifts. And these brethren, it seems, looked at other Christians in their assemblies at that congregation who had different spiritual abilities, things that they did not possess. And that led to envy and other problems. From that, I conclude that envy is not limited to the world. It's not limited to young people who have not reached a time in life when they should know better. The Bible tells us that envy can be a problem for Christians. Hence, in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, Paul said, if you want to be the right kind of person, if you really want to be a child of God, if you want to have true love, remember that love envies not. Growing up, one of the expressions that I heard at different times was keeping up with the Joneses. Maybe you've heard that too. That's probably changed a little bit, but we know the gist of that. Where I grew up, my parents are still there. They've been there for probably close to 40 years. Most of the lots in that subdivision are between half and three quarters of an acre. And for the last 20 or so years, my parents have seen a pattern. We talked about this just within the last week or so. Over the last two decades, a lot of those neighbors, there's been a situation where, you know, their lawn equipment went and wore out after several years, and they bought a new lawn tractor. And my parents said, well, it was not too long before two doors down, they bought a new lawn tractor too. And it didn't stop with two lawn tractors. The guy next door to the second fellow, he bought a lawn tractor. And that fellow that was right next to the first guy, he decided that he better get a new lawn tractor. And they've got a bunch of brand new mowers in that subdivision. Not only have neighbors bought a bunch of lawn tractors, but they all bought the same brand, John Deere. Well, in the past, it was often enough to keep up with the neighbors. If they got a new item, we're going to get a new item. And literally, it was keeping up with the Joneses. And the Joneses were the neighbors, the friends, the coworkers. But you know, times have changed. In the last 20 years, I think I've noticed a pattern that it's now no longer enough just to want and get what others have. But envy has reached a whole new level. We want what you have, and we want more. If you have what's good, we want what's better. If you have what's better, we want what's best. Envy has reached a whole new level. Well, all of this is not all that new. Solomon talked about it, that wise man, back in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, Ecclesiastes 4:4. If you return back to that passage, you would find that the wise man talks about labor and skillful work. In other words, he was looking at people in his day and time who were successful. They had successful people way back when. And he recognized that there were people who looked at those who were successful in various ways, and they were envied. We can see success in someone else's life, and then we in turn want what they have. If you've not yet considered or realized this little fact, let me share it with you since we're talking about envy this morning. One of the most powerful marketing tools in the hands of any advertising agency is envy. It works. It makes people billions and billions of dollars. Who here has not at least one time seen an infomercial on buying and selling real estate? Have you seen those commercials? Well, most of us have. The person selling a real estate program begins to trot out some success stories. Well, here's Joe, and you know, he didn't have much of an education, and he was making $3 an hour, but now he's a multi-millionaire. It's said that with only a few hours of work per week, a person can make a six-figure income. We can work from our own home, we can set our own hours, we can be our boss for the rest of our lives. Envy is at the core of these presentations. It's envy. Look at what this guy has. Look at what this fella has achieved. Look at the kind of vacation that he gets, and you can have the same thing. That's envy. And you know, it works. People will pay money so they can be in the very position that others have supposedly achieved. Would you believe that the Bible says envy rots the bones? You think it's in there? Be an interesting question for a quiz show. Well, if that question were asked, I would hope that you would answer yes. It is in the Bible, and it's found in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 14, verse 30. The Bible says that envy rots the bones. Now, again, that's not a New Testament principle, but it certainly relates to the New Testament verse that we're talking about. Envy encompasses a whole host of areas. It's possible to look at another person and see their physical strength or maybe their physical build, and a person says, I look at that person and I would sure like to be able to lift what he lifts. I would like to have the muscle build that he has. I would like to be as strong as he is. If envy is not related to physical appearance, as far as strength, it may be in the area of beauty. Thousands of people, tens of thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of people envy the appearance of another person. I wish I was as handsome as he is. I wish I envy her beauty, and I wish I could only have the physical attributes that she has. Envy is related to wealth. A person may look at another individual who is vastly wealthy and say, I wish I had his life. It's envy. We may look at a person and see the job that they have and think, I would like to have the job that he has. I would like to have the job that she has. That's envy. We can look at the type of car that someone drives, the home that they have, or the vacations they take. And it's envy. No matter how we look at it, we still come back to the same basic points. Do you remember from the Ten Commandments that God dealt with this subject? As he kind of summarized the Old Testament law, one of the Ten Commandments directly dealt with envy. You can find it back in Exodus 20, verse 17. God said to the Hebrew people, do not covet. Well, again, that's in the realm of envying. Do not covet the neighbor's house, his wife, his manservant. God said, do not covet his ox, do not covet his ass, or, and then this is the summary, God said, do not covet anything that belongs to thy neighbor. Why would God put that in the Ten Commandments? He knew that people are tempted to envy others. Preachers can envy one another. Congregations can envy one another. Almost anything is a possible candidate for the sin of envy. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, do you want to terminate envy? Do you want the solution, the remedy for this problem? It's love. Love. And that's why he said, love envies not. Envy is such an easy sin to commit. Don't have to be rich to commit it. Don't have to be real smart to commit it. Don't have to be real old to commit it. We're all subject to it. So today we ask a simple question. Are we guilty of envy? It's a very dangerous sin. It's an insidious kind of sin because it can lead to so many things. The young and the old, Christian and non-Christian, are subject to envy. God calls us to love, but you know that love includes obedience. And that obedience begins by becoming a Christian. If we love Christ, if we have that belief, then that envy of the world, we're going to begin to put that behind us. Repentance, another condition for salvation, again says there were some things that attracted us in the past, but we're going to cut ties to those. If we confess Christ, again, that's going to help us with the sin of envy because we're looking to Jesus, the writer of Hebrews says, the author and the perfecter of the finisher of our faith. And then to have those sins of envy and other matters cleansed, expunged from the record. The Bible says that we're baptized for the forgiveness of sins in Acts 22, verse 16. A man in Acts 22, 16, a man was asked, and now why tarriest thou, why wait? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on his name. Is it not good news that the sin of envy can be removed? Isn't it good news that whatever sin we've committed, if we become a Christian in the way that God has described, every single transgression will be taken away from our record? And then as we continue to live the Christian life, the Bible talks about repentance and confession, walking in the light, and that record continues to be cleansed. This morning, if envy has been a stumbling block for you or something else, we hope that you make things right with God. If you need to become a Christian, we've given the plan, faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, and we can help you complete those steps this morning. If you have become a Christian and you're struggling in some way, and we can help you, we let us know about that as well as we stand and sing the selected song.